Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at NewSkyRadio.com. New Sky Radio, NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and Radio.com. CBS Radio The Sky and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and no guarantee is made for the accuracy or suitability of any advice or other information offered.
WOMC HD3 Detroit, KMPS HD3 Seattle, WBMX HD3 Boston,
and on AOL Radio
and Yahoo Launchcast.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
This is Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston and some of the best co-hosts and fascinating topics of consciousness available. Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson. Tracy McBurney's Incredible Energy Consciousness. Mikhail Mir's Financial Consciousness. And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell with Quantum Physics and Consciousness. It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show. Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
Believe.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. It's the last Friday of the month, which means we have Tom Campbell here with us. You know, I always say this, but I love having Tom on the show. I think he, you know, has a wealth of information. If you like what we're talking about and you're into anything around spirituality, want to know more about how the world works from a quantum physics perspective, or also adding in the metaphysical perspective, Tom, you know, offers so much information on the web. If you go to YouTube, you could listen for hours and watch for hours on his workshops and on different talks he's done. And there's just a wealth of information there. You can go to his website. He wrote a series of three books called My Big Toe. So his website is mybigtoe.com, but there are hyphens in between. So it's my-big-toe.com, and there's a lot of information there. Plus, he has a forum that you can reach from his website that just, again, it's a large community of people that are asking all sorts of questions, repeated questions, and there's lots of information around. So if you like this information and you want to really find, I guess, that way towards our growth and evolution towards love, you know, Tom is probably one of the best people I've met that, you know, goes into the information, can go at it from various different angles, always comes back to love, and offers it through a very gentle way. So welcome, Tom.
Well, thank you, Lori. That's always a wonderful introduction you give me. I don't know if I can stand, you know, can earn that or not, but at least it's good to hear.
You can, Tom, you can. So I thought, you know, my newsletter this month was all around transformation and choices, and I thought we'd start with transformation. And we sort of briefly talked a little bit about how transformation really isn't something that's done to us. It's something we create. So I would love to start there. And we'll proceed.
Okay. Well, you know, transformation, and to be more specific, I'd say transforming ourselves, you know, is what we're here to do. That's the point of our existence, if you will. The goal we have for being here is individuated units of consciousness. We are supposed to transform ourselves. And what does that mean? That means we are to become... Oh, you know, if we say it in kind of a less precise way, you know, we're to become better people. We're to grow up. We're to become moral. We're to become love. So that's one way of saying it. And another way, more technical, and if you were to understand the, you know, how the world works, you would say that we're here to lower our entropy. But that just means that pretty much the same thing. You could call it spiritual growth. You could just call it kindness or compassion. All of these things are what we are to become. And not just this is how we're supposed to act. It's not about acting. It's about being. And that is our own personal transformation. And we sometimes have the idea that transformation is something that happens to us. you know, when 2012 comes and goes, there'll be this big transformation, and all the people who have been good little boys and girls will, you know, get boosted up to silver and gold clouds, and all the children who haven't, who've been naughty, you know, will have to remain on Earth in a miserable place full of earthquakes and tidal waves. That is not the way it works. Transformation is something that you have to do at the being level. You have to create it. Nobody can change you. You're the only person who can change yourself. You can't change anybody else. You know, so you are the one that you have to transform into this being of light, or this being of love. And there's no other way around that. So now there are environments that make it easier for us or harder for us, and those environments are generally called loving and supportive. That makes it easier, and harder is environments in which you have fear, you know, no trust, that sort of things make it more difficult. So we can have encouraging environments or discouraging environments, but still, even given any environment, it's still your choice as to how you react to that environment. You can be in a very loving environment and react, make very poor decisions, very poor choices, or you can be in a terrible environment and make very good choices and growing choices. So you can't blame it on the environment. You know, you also do an awful lot to create the environment, and that's part of your choices, is creating that environment. So transformation is a very fundamental thing to talk about, because, like I say, that's our purpose, is to transform ourselves. But we get into not thinking about transforming ourselves, but thinking about all the other people out there in the world that we need to transform. You know, that's kind of a problem we get into, that we don't have the issue. It's somebody else has the issue. You know, somebody else makes us angry. Somebody else makes us upset. Yet being angry and being upset are choices of yours. You choose to be angry. You choose to be upset. Nobody else can make you be anything other than what you are. So that's sort of my you know, view on transformation.
Sometimes we get to a place, though, or, you know, maybe it's certain times of the year or certain times when we're feeling that pressure, and that we feel sometimes that, you know, transformation is all around us, that we feel that, and, you know, some people will say it's astrology, you know, the planet Pluto is somewhere in your chart or doing something that may be impacting you to, I don't know, forcing you to make changes, or, you know, that feeling of the intensity. But I'd like to talk about, I know I've already said like three or four things, but
yeah,
talk about
a whole bunch.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to do it, you know, one at a time, but however you see them, those fitting together.
Yeah. Well, we do have that sometimes that feeling of incipient, something's just pregnant and ready to pop, you know, something's going to happen. And often we have that feeling when we realize that, you know, we're on the verge of understanding something, or maybe growing. We have something that hits us, and we sort of, for a moment, we get a glimmer of what the right thing is, what we should be doing, and how we should be doing it. And then the ego comes back and impresses us with its view, and then we kind of lose it. And then we'll maybe get a glimmer again. And it's often like that when you're right on the precipice, right on the edge of a new understanding. It kind of wiggles back and forth between getting it and not getting it for a while. And I think that's part of it. And there may be a lot of us right around this time that are like that, that are kind of close to getting a bigger understanding, but haven't quite gotten a complete grasp of it yet. And that leaves us in that feeling of something, you know, something big's about to happen. But it's not something, again, that's going to happen to us. It's something that we are going to, you know, do to ourselves, if you will. And it's not really the doing so much as we're going to become something more than we are. So I think that's part of that thing. And often we'll get kind of, something's got to happen. We'll have that idea rather than something, I feel it's, you know, that it's almost that second shoe's ready to fall. Sometimes we feel that way when we're just overwhelmed. We get overwhelmed with things, And it's sort of like, you know, would somebody stop the merry-go-round and let me get off, you know, is the feeling that we have, because there's we get overwhelmed and we're not making progress. We don't feel like we're really doing what we should do, but we don't know what it is we should do. And that leaves us frustrated, and we're busy, and we don't seem to have time to think or consider or be, because there's always so much going on. And all that kind of builds up pressure, and we feel like, you know, stop this merry-go-round and just let me get off. I need a chance to get away, to think, to get a vacation, to, you know, just go out and watch the trees grow for a while. So that's part of our reaction to not necessarily doing well and feeling overwhelmed. So those are two things. The other one is feeling like you almost have it, and you get little glimmers of truth, but you haven't been able to actually own them yet. They're just kind of there teasing you, if you will, or beckoning you forward.
That it hasn't been anchored yet. It hasn't fully come into your being.
And much of us are like that, because we are, like it or not, most of us are, expressions of our ego and our beliefs and our fears. And that tends to be the way we act and interact throughout the day with people. We interact out of our ego and out of our fears. And we often play roles of who we think we ought to be and how we should respond and what would be the right thing to say, rather than just being genuine, authentic, and just being ourselves, living in the moment, and, you know, getting the feedback from that, making changes and growing. See, that's the kind of the optimal way to be, but often we're in this kind of pretend fog of how we think we ought to be and trying to be the way we think we ought to be, but that's not the same as just being who you are. And part of the reason that few of us are just who we are is because that's scary. What if I am just how I am and nobody likes me? You know, what if I am how I am and it's not very nice? Or it's socially unacceptable or whatever. So we worry about those things, and that fear makes us try very hard to feed an image, to be what we think we should be. And that leaves us feeling very anxious and a lot of anxiety as well.
Plus, we tend to overanalyze things mentally, which is also the ego aspect of us. But, you know, we the glimmer often is, you know, a glimmer of feeling, but with it becomes all the mental stuff that we think we then say, oh, yeah, I got it. But it's just a mental construction instead of.
Exactly. That gets in the way more than it helps for most people. We live in our Western culture. We tend to be very left brain dominant. And what that means is that we tend to want to reason everything out. We want everything to sound logical. We want to have a prescription. You can get what you want or get to where you're going if you just follow these 10 steps. You know, that's the way we want to approach life. Logical process. If this, then that, then that, then, you know, everyone will live happily ever after if we just do these things. And the world doesn't work that way. It's not really constructed that way, but we pretend that it is, and we force it to be that way. And we have this tendency to overthink and overjudge and overanalyze everything, trying to get it to be the way we want. And it's like, if we could just understand it and analyze it, then we could manipulate it to be the way we want. And that's not a very productive approach to life, trying to analyze it to the point that you can, best thing I say is manipulate it, so you know what's expected of you and what you should do next. All your moves can be planned out as the most rational move to make an optimum outcome, and that's manipulation. Mm-hmm. You're trying to make the world be the way you want it, rather than trying to be who you are and then just interact with the world the way it is. And that sounds very simple, but it's very difficult for most of us to do.
It really isn't, and often I know I talk about how we try to control things, and that's what you're talking about with manipulation. I mean, I don't even think often we are even aware that that's what we're doing. I think we're thinking that we're doing, you know, the right thing, or we think we're, you know, trying to do it the right way, and yet we're so transfixed on trying to make it something, do something, be something, not be something. We're trying to make it and manipulate and do something to make it difference.
Yes, that's the way it is. And you're right. Most of us don't know that what's pushing us around is fear. Right. Fear in the form of ego, fear in the form of belief, fear in the form of wants, needs, desires. You know, that's what motivates us most of the time.
It's, okay, hold that thought, Tom. We're going to go to our first break.
Oh,
I know.
Good. A break.
A break. Yeah. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Thomas Campbell with me. Tom can be found on the web at mybigtoe.com, hyphens in between, or YouTube. A lot of information out there, so do check him out. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Mondays are motivational on New Sky Radio. At 1 p.m. Eastern Time, it's Voices of Soul with Jean Adrian and Laurie Houston. Voices of Soul provides intuitive advice and assistance for all areas of your life. Jean and Laurie combine years of background in the psychic and healing arts to help you find your answers and create the reality you desire and deserve. At 2 p.m. Eastern, join Sky host Kimmy Rose Zaff for Interviews. Interviews features many of today's top metaphysical experts, authors, and speakers in the areas of mind, body, spirit, including people like Damian Brinkley, Greg Braden, and Dr. Patch Adams, and many others. Join the conversation. New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and Radio.com. CBS Radio, The Sky, and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes and are not responsible for choices and decisions made as a result of such advice or other information offered.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today I have Thomas Campbell. Tom's always with us every last Friday of the month. And today we're sort of talking about, we're bringing it all in within transformation, because sometimes transformation just feels it's happening to you. We talked about how it's really something we need to become. But part of transformation is also this part where we're trying to manipulate things, and usually it comes from a place of fear, which is where we sort of stopped right before the break.
Yeah. Or, well, you know, a lot of people feel this sense that they need to grow up. They need to learn. They need to become more spiritual. They need to, you know, to whatever, you know, they need to learn how to go out of body, or, you know, read charts or do something like that. They, you know, particularly among the New Ager group, they really have this need to expand themselves, expand their awareness and all of that. But then they start looking for prescriptions on how to do that,
right?
You know, and that's the wrong thing. You don't find directions and steps to accomplish these things. And they think if they just took the right training courses, just read the right books, just, you know, could get a grip on it, just could understand it logically, then they could somehow progress. And that doesn't work. It isn't like that. It's not about what you do. It's about what you are. And all the doing in the world, all reading all of the wisest, you know, books are not going to make you wise. Reading all about spiritual things is not going to make you a spiritual person. It's changing at the being level. You have to change yourself, which means find that fear, get rid of it, get rid of that ego, get rid of those beliefs, let all that stuff go and just live in the moment, be yourself, and then learn, be open to challenges and learn from them. And if that's, you know, such a simple thing to say, such a hard thing to do. We have this feeling that we can't get from A to B unless we do something.
Right.
You know, and it's not. The way you grow spiritually, the way you grow, you know, to lower your entropy or raise the quality of your consciousness, is by changing yourself, not by doing anything. It's by being differently. And the doing doesn't necessarily lead to being, you see. So that's this transformation idea is now, okay, I want to transform myself. What do I do, you know, to accomplish that? And it's like, well, nothing. You know, doing isn't the thing. It's like, how should I be differently to accomplish that? Oh, well, now I can give you an answer. You know, get rid of the fear, ego, beliefs, wants, needs, desires, all that sort of thing. And then you might say, well, how do I go about doing that? And I can give you some help about how you go about doing that. And I've done that already probably 4 or 5 times on these shows, so I won't repeat it here. But that's the kind of thing. The doing is to change yourself.
Right. Now, part of what I was talking about when we talked about transformation is a lot of times, you know, people explain things through astrology. And, you know, certain planets like Pluto and, you know, with all the stuff going on with that's gone into Scorpio recently. So both of these are planets or a sign that has a lot to do with transformation, death, transformation, and rebirth. And so a lot of people, when they think about transformation, they look at, you know, where's Pluto in their chart, or, you know, do they have anything that's in Scorpio? And so astrology is a tool that a lot of people use.
Yes, astrology is an interesting tool, a very old tool. And, you know, some of the astrologers out there will probably start pulling their hair out when they hear me, when they hear this explanation. But there are lots of tools for divining the future. Okay. And another very old tool is taking a bunch of chicken bones and throwing them on the floor and seeing how they align themselves, because certain alignments, you know, mean one thing and certain alignments mean the other. And depending on the person who throws the bones, they can read it. Dealing out tarot cards are the same sort of thing. You know, how the cards turn up has certain kinds of meanings about, you know, what's going to happen next. and whether or not Mercury is retrograde to the, you know, to Pluto or whatever, which probably doesn't make any sense, but, you know, it's the same sort of thing. So what's going on here in all these things, in the tarot cards, in the chicken bones? Well, what is it? Let's see, the I Ching, you take a bunch of sticks and you drop them. Right. And depending how they fall, you end up with dashed lines or dotted lines, and you build hexagrams, and then the hexagrams mean something. Well, the way all these things start out by working is you kind of have an intent in your mind to gather some information. That's how they start. With the I Ching, you kind of ask a question, and you have this thought, this question, this information you need to know. You know, how do I deal with, you know, such and such? And then you throw your sticks, and then you make your hexagram. Or with the bones, chicken bones, you have something you want to know about, and you concentrate. You get your mind set on that. Then you throw the bones. With astrology, it's a similar sorts of thing. You go to an astrologer, and you want your horoscope done because you want to know what's going to go on in your future. No point having them tell you what happened in the past, right? You can look that up. That's history. But what you want to know is what's coming. And so the astrologer has in their mind you're their client, and they're going to come up with what's going on in your future. And as they have their mindset on that, they're working with their, you know, where all the, how they're interpreting all the placements of the, I guess we just call them in generally heavenly bodies, even though, you know, our moon and whatever, it's not just planets, but there's other things involved. And it's the same sort of thing. Astrology is a very complex set of relationships among things, and then the astrologer interprets those. Okay, well, that's just their interpretation of this complex set of relationships reflects the information that they're getting from what I call the future probable database. And it's just the relationships among heavenly bodies just becomes another code, like tarot cards or chicken bones, for interpreting what the information is. Now, it works two ways. One, the person can just kind of interpret it, and they interpret things slightly differently. You know, this with this could mean that, but with this and this other thing could mean this other thing. There's lots of ways of interpreting, and you kind of, the interpretations just nicely form a wrapper around the information they get from the larger consciousness system, what I call a future probable database. So that's the same with the chicken bones. Now, the other thing happening is that it allows the larger consciousness system a media in which to communicate with you. So if you have a situation where, you know, if the leg bone lies on top of the, you know, of the wishbone, and that's crosswise to the other kind of bone, then that means certain death, you know, or some kind of thing like that. Well, then the larger conscious system can communicate things to you by arranging how the bones fall. Because how the bones fall is a very uncertain process. When you throw the bones into the air, there's a huge amount of uncertainty as to how they'll land. And the larger conscious system, with that much uncertainty, can make them land pretty much any way it wants, trying to send a message, you see. So it works two ways. The person doing it can interpret in a way that fits the information, and the larger system can manipulate the outcome of a very uncertain process in order to produce a message. So both of those things, now I'm talking about all these various ways, you know, reading tea leaves, same sort of thing. So astrology is a little different in that the larger conscious system can't rearrange the moon and the stars, you know, to make a message. It doesn't have that flexibility, but it can rearrange the interpretations, kind of the way you think of it, the way you interpret it. But it all works in the same way. You take an astrologer, when they're doing their work, they need to be in kind of a quiet, contemplative state of mind. You don't find astrologers doing their work and doing horoscopes while they're cooking dinner for Thanksgiving, you know, that sort of thing. You don't find them, doing other things that require their attention while they're doing their astrology. Now, they may do other things like, you know, that are more like meditations, whether that's knitting or working in a garden or whatever, but when their mind is still in kind of a contemplative mood. But they have to connect with this information. That's why computers make very mediocre astrologers. You see, if it was just a matter of logic, if it was, well, Mercury's here and the moon's there and the sun's there and et cetera, and here's this constellation and that, and you were born on this day, all of that can be computed. That's just math. And you can compute that, and a computer can tell you to, you know, 15 decimal places exactly, you know, what's, you know, what is retrograde to what? According to your birthday, you know, we're
okay,
all
hold that thought, Tom. Sorry. Okay. I know this is a good place, though, because we'll come back talking about that, because that's a very interesting thought. We're going to go to our break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. I have Tom Campbell on with me. He can be found on the web at mybigtoe.com. There's hyphens in between. He can be found on YouTube. There's hours and days worth of videos to watch and information to grasp. There's also a forum that he has right on his website, you can get to his forum from his website, and lots of information. So take advantage of this information. It's all free. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Thursday is a power-packed day here on the Sky. Join us at noon for the I'm Thankful Network. At 1 p.m., it's the Dr. Pat Show. At 4 p.m., Colette Baron-Reed takes the stage for the Colette Baron-Reed Show. The Colette Baron-Reed Show, where intuition, practical spirituality, great advice, a little woo-woo fun, and fabulosity meet. Colette Baron-Reed is an internationally renowned intuitive counselor, educator, and best-selling author who helps others recognize and connect with their own intuition, potential, and purpose. Powerful motivational speaker, charismatic broadcast personality, and acclaimed performer, storyteller, and recording artist, Colette uses her extraordinary spiritual gifts to empower her clients to live a life that is awake and authentic, and to create a reality that is spiritual, deliberate, and meaningful. Call in early. The lines are hot. 248-545-7685. Instant feedback at newskyradio.com. New Sky Radio. NewSkyRadio.com. New horizons, no boundaries. Powered by CBS, Yahoo, and Radio.com.
We'll be right back.
Voice Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
And welcome back. We are here today with Tom Campbell. We've been talking about I find it very fascinating. We've been talking about transformation. We got to something about astrology because I think, you know, a lot of times we interpret things through astrology, especially around transformation, to see where things are in our chart. And we got to the point where we were sort of talking about, you know, the computer and logic versus the person. So, Tom, why don't you continue with that?
The concept I was working on there is that if you had a computer, if it was just mechanics, if astrology was just mechanics, you see, then you could have a computer do it much, much more accurately and much, much more completely than a person could do it. And a computer could do it much more quickly as well. Mm-hmm. So the very best astrologers would then be computers because they can do all the calculations and forward all the progressions of where the stars and planets and sun and moon are going to be at any particular time, you know, in the future. And so in any case, we find out, of course, that computers are not the best astrologers. There are lots of computer programs that will cast horoscopes, but they're always very mediocre. You know, they conflict with each other. They're sometimes right, sometimes not right. And we find that computers are very uninspired astrologists generally. Okay, now why is that? That's because it's not just mechanics. You know, it's the consciousness of the person, you know, of the astrologer doing the horoscope. It's that consciousness and the information that they gather that is available in the larger consciousness system. And it's in a database, if you will, called the probable future reality. We live in a virtual probable reality. That's a whole other story. And my books are free on Google Books, so if you find, you know, read all about it there. But what you have with you know, tea leaves and chicken bones and all the rest of it, very much the same. It has to do with the person doing it. And that person's ability to connect with the larger conscious system, gather this information, and then express it in terms of their tool. So express it in terms of astrology or in terms of placements of dashed lines and solid lines and hexagrams or in terms of placements of chicken bones or whatever. That's the thing. And if you get good with your tool, then you can use that tool to express, you know, almost any set of conditions, any set of information that you wish. You can express it. You can express it in terms of that tool. So that's kind of the, you know, my take on you know, forecasting the future with tea leaves and chicken bones. I mean, you could get a pile of chicken bones in a computer program and kind of throw them, which means you'd punch a button and the way they would land would be randomized. Okay, they would all be kind of tossed in the air and then randomly fall. So you could simulate chicken bone tossing in a computer as well, and it would be perfectly random. And then you could tell the computer, or ask the computer, you know, here's the rules on deciphering chicken bone placements, and the computer could do the same as it does in astrology. Computer could give you a, you know, instead of a horoscope, give you a bonoscope, right? And it could read your fortune that way, or it could do tarot cards. And in all cases, the computer would be uninspired. Not very good, terribly mediocre, because it's not logical process that's at play. And the magic isn't in the tool. The magic is in the consciousness of the person using the tool. There is only one active ingredient, and that's consciousness. Whether it's tea leaves or chicken bones or the positions of the planets relative to your birthday, all of that boils down to one active ingredient, and that's consciousness.
Which is a very, very important piece, though, because the consciousness of whoever it is that you're dealing with. I mean, it's very interesting because two people can, I have a show where I have an astrologer, Nancy Arruda, and I, and we both play on, you know, what the person's question is, and I'll pull some tarot cards. She'll look at the astrology, and we in most cases, almost all cases, have the exact same thoughts. She'll pick out from astrology the things that she sees that are the most relevant, discuss them. I'll look at, you know, some of the cards, and I'll be able to interpret it. It's interesting, though, but the point that you said about consciousness, if you have somebody who is having a really bad day, if you have somebody who's, you know, very angry and is still working through certain parts of their life that they haven't healed, it will all impact, because our, you know, how we intuit things is very much based on our own perceptions and what our own experiences. So our filters of our consciousness have to go through who we are.
Yes. Yes, we interpret everything in terms of ourselves.
Yes.
That's kind of the nature of the way we are. We interpret what other people say to us in terms of ourselves. What would that mean if I said it? You know, which is a lot of that is the, you know, men are from Mars and women are from Venus sort of thing.
Right.
You know, a woman hears a man say something and it means something to her, as if she said that, what would it mean? You say, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what he, you know, what it means to him.
Right.
And vice versa. It's that same sort of thing. We interpret everything in terms of ourselves. When we go out of body, what we see is an interpretation of ourselves. We get data and we interpret that in terms of our own experience base, our own, you know, our own ego, our own beliefs, our own needs and wants, our own ignorance, as well as our own information. It's us. So everything, no exceptions, are interpretations, and the interpretation is always a reflection of ourselves. So that's why you can say that we can see ourselves in the mirror. You know, everything else is a mirror for us. Well, that's kind of why, in the sense that everything we see, everything we get, all the understandings we have, all the conclusions we jump to are all based on our own, like you call, our own filters, our own history, our own experience set, our own beliefs, fears, needs, etc. So we see the world very much through our own filters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, how we interpret it. And typically, you know, the people that come to us or want information from us are usually at a similar place or a place that we can relate to. So it allows us to offer information. But, you know, if they go, they could, which I know happens, you know, you could go to 10 different people and depending on where they are would either get 10 different responses or responses that are in some way similar but reflecting different pieces of the same issue, the same problem.
Sure. Well, it's the same thing everywhere. If you get 10 different people standing on the same street corner and they watch an accident, you get 10 different accident reports. You see, it's the same thing. You have 10 different people listening to somebody talk about their life. You have 10 different ways of approaching that. It again, you see everything in terms of yourself. Mm-hmm. So that's whether you're observing accidents, doing horoscopes, or you know, trying to counsel somebody, you're still interpreting whatever data that comes your way in terms of your own experience.
We will talk more probably about choices when we come back from our last break, but you know, I hope at some point we're going to get to the place where, you know, everything doesn't come through us, and that we get to the place where we can, you know, start seeing it as a bigger picture, or start seeing it from a space where we can allow others to be part of that picture. But we're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tom Campbell with us. He's with us every last Friday of the month. I can't say enough about Tom. You can find out so much information that he's offering for free, like his books that is on Google. Just search his name. There's so much information on YouTube, on his website, in his forum. We're listening on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Spirit Guide Radio, the sky's newest network, is seeking spiritual guides who can help our listeners discover their spirit as a radio show host. If you are a professional spiritual teacher or metaphysician that can inspire and empower our listeners' spirit to fly high, Spirit Guide Radio Network wants to hear from you. Call Laura at 309-888-4589. We'd like to hear from experts who can spiritually guide our audience to live life fully, one caller at a time. We seek professionals in the field of tarot, numerology, feng shui, animal communication, exorcism, color therapy, medical intuition, positive witchcraft, neuropathic medicine, herbology, aromatherapy, shamanism, voodoo, reiki, or energy healing, channeling, ghost hunting. The sky's the limit. Spirit Guide Radio Network would like to hear your proposal for developing a radio show starring you. Call Laura at 309-888-4589. Spirit Guide Radio Network is also seeking guest experts to interview on our current shows on air. Call Laura 309-888-4589 today.
I'm trying to tell you something about my life. Maybe give me insight between black and white. And the best thing you ever done for me is to help me take my life less seriously. It's only life after all. Yeah. Well, darkness has a hunger that's insatiable. And lightness has a call that's hard to hear. And I wrap my fear around me like a blanket. I sail my ship of safety till I sank it. I'm crawling on your shores. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah, closer I. My performance, he said he could see through me. I spent 4 years prostrate to the higher mind, got my paper and I was free. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountains. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, yeah, closer I am to find, yeah. There's more than one answer to these questions, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find, closer I.
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Thomas Campbell with us. Right before break, we were, I guess I asked a question with regards to, you know, I hope at some point we can get past the, you know, making it all about us or having everything go through. I think they'll probably still go through our filters, but we're not the main ingredient in all the things that we see. And I think Tom wants to take it from there.
Yeah, just one last comment in that the way you can maximize the accuracy of the way you interpret things, so you don't misinterpret, and you don't interpret something that you know, because of you, you don't misinterpret what somebody else has said because you're putting your own special filter on it. What you have to do is basically get rid of those filters. You're always going to interpret data in terms of yourself, but if you get rid of your beliefs, get rid of your fear, and get rid of your ego, then your interpretation becomes solid, becomes straight. It's just the way it is. You're just taking the data. You're not coloring the data. It's the ego and the fear and the beliefs is what make those glasses you're wearing, you know, so dark a color, you know, makes it, it stretches everything. It's like looking in a funhouse mirror, you know, you look in a funhouse mirror and everything's distorted. You look very small or very tall and skinny or very chubby or whatever. And that's because of the distortion of the mirror. Well, that's what your fear does. And fear creates the ego and beliefs. So fear distorts everything that you get, and then your interpretation is based on those distortions. So once you grow up, like we started, you know, transform yourself into a being of love, and you've gotten rid of all the fear, then your mirror is a plain, flat mirror, and you see it just the way it is. Yes, it's still you, and you still have to interpret in terms of your knowledge base, but your mirror now is flat and not distorted. Glasses are clear, not lumpy. They don't distort things. So that's really how you deal with that, where you can see people and you see the data just the way it is, still from your experience, because if they're talking about something you've never experienced, then you just don't know much about it. You see, you're still limited, but you don't add noise to the signal, and that noise comes from your fear. All right, so I think we're done with that one, and you wanted to go on one more thing, I think, to choices.
Right, to choices. Right? Well, because I think it all comes down to, you know, what are the choices we're making when, you know, when we're looking at transforming ourselves, or when we're looking at thinking that everything is sort of happening to us, what are the choices that, I mean, I think it's through our choices that we can look at, you know, are we responding from a place of fear, or are we responding from a place of love? And I think that's really the only way we can
create change. That's how we express ourselves, is through our choices.
Right.
That's our expression, you know. And if you think of that, that's true in any kind of an expression of yourself. It's your choice how to respond, how to interact, how to react. You know, you have the choice. We made a little example earlier about you have the choice, you know, whether to you know, be upset or be angry or not when things happen. You have choices, and if you make the choice of being angry, you make me angry, and you feel like, you know, that has nothing to do with you. It's that other person, of course, that's making you angry. That's your choice to feel that way. It's your feeling, and you have to choose to feel it. Nobody forces you to feel any particular way. And you're saying, well, that's not my choice. Of course, anybody would feel that way. You know, that's unfair, so it'd make anybody mad. Well, that's not the case. You feel that it's unfair to you, and then you choose to be mad because of it. That's because you have fear, and ego is why you choose to be angry because of it. So all of them are your choices. That's how we express ourselves. We choose to be, and it's not how you choose to act. It's how you choose to be. We choose to be a certain way, and however we are, that's how we interact and react because of how we are. Mm-hmm. So choice is our, you know, that's how we grow. So how do we do that growing? How do we find that transformation? It's by making better choices. Instead of choosing to be angry, we choose not to be angry. We choose to be compassionate instead. You see, that's the thing. And we don't choose that. Again, it's not, oh, I want to act compassionate and not act angry. So I'll stuff my anger, you know, down deep where nobody can see it. And then I'll act like I'm compassionate. That doesn't help. That is not going to transform you at all. You have to be differently, not act differently. Now, sometimes acting differently can be on a path to being differently. But the acting itself doesn't win any prizes. You know, you don't get any points for that. You only grow up if you change yourself the way you are. So your reactions, that's why I say just be who you are. React and interact and just be you, because then that's honest. And if the way you are, you know, annoys people, then you may have to change how you are, or you may to change the people that you interact with. But something has to change. But saying, well, what changes is I'll start acting different than I am, that's a dysfunctional path, you see. That doesn't take you any place other than frustration and neurosis. You have to be yourself and then deal with what that is and then grow from the feedback you get from that.
Right. It's the being that, you know, we're either afraid of, which brings up more fears, or, yeah. You know, it's like, how do we, it's that place where most of us are, I guess, struggling to understand, because I think we get caught up in what that means, that what being means. We think we're being by doing, and that's, you know, clearly we've already discussed, it's not what,
no,
it's not the way to get there.
No, and people, you know, they spin webs for themselves, all this acting and pretending and image, and pretty soon they have whole bunches of relationships. They may have spouses. They have all this, you know, they have jobs. They have all this stuff where basically they're interacting as a person they're pretending to be. They're pretending to be this way at home. They're pretending to be that way at the office. They're pretending to be different ways with different friends. And they have such a kind of a house of cards built up that when they think about, well, what if I was just me and I really just, you know, was the way I was, the way I am, I act the way I am. And suddenly it's like, well, you know, all the cards would fall down. My whole house of cards is based on pretense,
right,
and image.
Okay. Unfortunately, we have to stop here. We will definitely talk about it again. Thank you so much, Tom. And thank you for listening to the show. We're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Yeah.